The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
You went on this show.
You kind of have to keep up with it. It's very intelligent.
It sounds like a scam.
They are not part of the legitimate business world.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
It was a night of controversy. It was a night of awareness. It was a night of a lot of uncomfortable, famous white people trying to make sure they clapped when the cameras were on them. As you know, there were no black nominees in the acting categories. Tonight's Oscar hopefuls were wider than the line to buy T-shirts at a Michael Bolton concert. The only way a black or a Hispanic or Asian actor was going to win an Oscar tonight was if they let Steve Harvey announce the winner, and that didn't happen.
That would have been good. All right, so all things Oscars on the way, including a conversation with our San Francisco film critic, Tim Sica, and a lot of the fun things that, I don't know, maybe you were on your second bottle of wine and you've already forgotten what you saw. I'll recap and help you. That's what I'm here to do, people. I'm here to help. All right, right now I want to say good evening to my next guest. It is, well, I consider her Penny, but she's Jenny Winton, and she is with Dirty Dancing, and Dirty Dancing, the play, is playing right here in San Francisco. Good evening, and thank you for joining me, Jenny.
Of course.
So,
my pleasure.
How's the show going? I have to say my girlfriend saw it, and she loved it.
Oh, that's good news. I'm glad. Yeah, it's going great. It's the San Francisco audience is great, and I expect nothing less of them since I was born and raised here. So,
yeah, how does it feel to come home and do the big show? It's a really big show, and like I said, it's getting fantastic reviews. How does it feel to be doing it right back here in your hometown?
It's pretty surreal. I haven't lived at home in, you know, maybe 7 years or so, and yeah, it has been since I left the ballet school. I trained at the San Francisco Ballet School basically my entire childhood here. And the last time I performed in the city was with San Francisco Ballet. So it's great to be back.
We're making, Oscar jokes here tonight. But, actually, and we have to go back to the film Dirty Dancing was Patrick Swayze, 1987, Jennifer Grey. And it actually did win. I had to look. It won an Oscar for Best Music Original Score, Jennifer Warren's. And it also won Best Motion Picture with the Golden Globes.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, see, you learn something new every day. So let me ask you. I already know the movie somewhat, but it's been so long since I've seen it. You're playing Penny. And I was thinking, if I recall, didn't Penny put the dirty into the Dirty Dancing, right?
I mean, you could say that. You could say that for sure. I mean, her storyline is very intense and dramatic, and she's kind of the whole reason why Patrick Swayze or Johnny Castle and Baby get together in the first place. And she's just kind of the leader in the whole Dirty Dancing movement, I would say. You know. Not, of course, shadowed a bit by Johnny Castle himself, but they're the partners in crime here. So
yeah, it's a little bit edgy, your part, because there's abortion involved and those sort of things. And
yeah,
how does that play out? Because I know you play all over the world. Is some of this received, especially for people who did not see it or the movie or know what the play is about, is do you get different kind of reactions, different areas of the world?
Definitely, definitely. More conservative places we've been, have definitely a different reaction to the more liberal places that we've been. And, we were playing in Houston, Texas, around the time of specific candidates being elected in the political realm. And some woman came up to me at an after party and was like, wow, you really... it was really poignant, like your scene, because, abortion was one of the, and Planned Parenthood was one of the issues being debated on that during that time, the debate. So it was is making imprints that I wasn't even aware that it was making. So
it's
still very
see
relevant
it.
Today, obviously.
It, absolutely. Texas is, they're so backwards when it comes to all of that. But, let me ask you, so I don't even think you were born when this movie, this film originally came out, right?
No, it was a little bit before my time.
Okay, so what do you think keeps fans coming back to see the movie to see the movie or, in your case, the stage show?
I think it's just such an iconic story, and everybody can really relate to the celebration of dance and music, whether you're a professional or not. And it's, you know, everyone's had that summer fling, and it's just such a, you know, it's just such a classic.
Well, how old were you the first time you saw it?
I was probably maybe like 11 or 12.
Had you started dancing at that point?
I had been dancing a little earlier than that. I started at the San Francisco Ballet School when I was 6.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say 11 or 12 is when I started to get really serious and really passionate about it, which is probably why I ended up seeing Dirty Dancing. That's probably why it attracted me.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Jenny Winton, and she is part of the cast of Dirty Dancing, which is playing at the, it's at the Golden Gate Theater, and it plays through March
20th.
March 20th. So one of the things that Sharon wanted me to tell you is that not only did she love the play, but she thought that the effects were spectacular, and she had never seen effects like that in a play before.
Oh, yeah, we have some pretty special effects.
Yeah, do you want to talk about some of those? Because she just said it was magical.
Sure. I mean, I don't know exactly. You can probably describe it better than I can, because I've never actually seen it from the front.
Oh, right, yes.
Because
you have spotlights in your eyes. Right, yeah.
But the way that we, you know, we've got to recreate like a lake scene and a forest scene,
right,
on a stage without any of that real stuff. So we use a lot of different screens and lighting and special effects. And we have an LED wall that's set up behind the stage. So we have a wonderful tech team that really recreates that magic.
Oh, cool.
That is fantastic, because she just said, well, you know, they didn't have sets, but they were doing this electronic stuff. And she's, you know, was talking about, this is the first time I've been to a play where it was so modern and it was so very well done. Mm. But, you know, she said, well, Drexen, you know, if you would ever go to a play with me, you would understand. You would get it.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
and I mean,
you should go.
It's cutting edge. Yeah, yeah.
We got 3 more weeks, so come and see it.
And it takes place in the 60s, too. So for it to look so great in 2016 is a nice thing,
amazing,
as well.
Oh, it's really fun.
So how long are you with the show? Because you just keep moving around the country, right?
Right. I've been with the show for a year and a half. And we're touring this production until June.
Oh, okay.
So
then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? Just relax for a while.
I'm not sure yet. You know, just like on to the next project, I believe.
Well, if you come back home to San Francisco, good luck finding a place to rent. I hope you have a family here.
I'm staying with my parents right now.
That's
so awesome.
The cheapest place to save your money. Yeah.
Right. I was going to ask, is that your mom that picked up the phone? That's awesome.
Yeah, that was her.
Because it's really funny, because everybody that goes away from the Bay for, I don't know, 7-10 years, and then they come back and the whole gentrification thing comes into play. They're like, how'd this happen? What happened here?
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. It really is a different city than it was. But
we'd still
so was everything else.
Yes. Jenny Winton, who plays Penny in Dirty Dancing, has been my guest. And again, playing at the Golden Gate Theater through March 20th. Thank you very much for talking to us, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Break a leg.
Except, all right, thanks.
But really, don't break a leg.
Oh, wait, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Good luck, you're adorable.
That's like the Oscar thing last night. I have to figure out this story. But, you know, all things superstitious, and acting's another one. People are so superstitious. And there was this big rumor going around over the weekend that Leonardo DiCaprio touched Cary Grant's Oscar, and therefore he would not win the Oscar, because if you're nominated or you're a big-time actor and you touch someone else's Oscar, so goes the theory. And by the way, so much for that theory, because he did win. You never win one.
It's a superstition, not a theory.
It's a really silly one. Yeah, it didn't work out. He won. All right, let's get to some of the fun coming up here with Tim Sika on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
This is Charles Osgood.
You make it look like it's magic.
see nobody, nobody but you.
Oh, this is the Weeknd from Fifty Shades of Grey. Oh, which is great. Is Tim Seca on the line?
Tim Seca, our film
Hello,
critic.
Hello, Drek.
Oh, my God. You know, before we get into the Grammys, it's so funny that she's playing The Weeknd from 50 Shades of Grey because 50 Shades of Grey just, they just tore it up when it came to the Razzies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst picture, 50 Shades of Grey and Fantastic Four.
Yeah. That's quite a pairing, right?
Right. And worst actor.
I saw them both. Have you guys seen either one of those?
You know, it was on in my house, and I walked out, and I looked at it. I think I sat there for maybe 5 minutes, and I thought, I've got something else better to do. Did not see Fantastic Four.
Yeah, you kind of feel that, too, when you're sitting through that movie, like the first 10 minutes.
And then Jamie Dornan won for Worst Actor, and Worst Actress was Dakota Johnson. Her latest thing is she's on this rant, Tim, that she's so sick and tired of having to cover up her tattoos that she doesn't think she needs to do that anymore. And I'm thinking, Dakota, you better just hope you keep getting work.
Yeah. You know, I thought she was pretty good in 50 Shades of Grey.
But the problem was there was no chemistry. Would you agree? Because the worst screen combo was Janie Dornan and Dakota Johnson in 50 Shades of Grey. So maybe that's the problem.
Well, I think a little of that had to be intentional because there was that, you know, weird sexual dynamic going on. And I think that's what they were trying to do. I didn't hold it against the movie that they didn't have quote unquote chemistry because I thought that was like a deliberate thing that they threw in there to create the weird tension that was in that movie. I didn't think the film was as bad as people said it was. I thought it had some interesting things in there to talk about. I saw it at a preview, and there were only middle-aged women in the audience.
Did you run?
They giggled through the whole movie. That didn't affect my
awkward. That's what I would think. Okay, yeah. So here we go. I know we're going to get to all things Oscar, so I'm going to play the montage of the big winners. Here we go.
Okay, good.
Oh no, wait a second. Hold on a second. Okay. Here we go. Stand by, everybody.
For Best Picture, and the Oscar goes to Spotlight.
For performance by an actor in a leading role. And the Oscar goes to Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Best Actress. And the Oscar goes to Brie Larson.
For achievement in directing.
And the Oscar goes Alejandro G. Inarritu.
For performance by an actress in a supporting role. Alicia Vikander, the Danish Girl.
For performance by an actor in a supporting role. Mark Rylance, Bridge of Spies.
Very nicely done, except what Alicia Vikander was wearing. She was wearing newspaper clippings. I didn't quite understand that.
But. No, it was a beautiful dress. Fix your glasses.
Yeah,
no, Kate Winslet needed to fix her glasses. They were crooked.
I thought it was a beautiful dress, too, that she wore. But, I don't pay attention. I never notice, unless the lady in question is wearing something odd or strange, like, you know, what Cher used to wear to the Oscars. Or
dress.
Yeah, or Barbara Streisand when she won for Funny Girl eons ago, she wore this like pajama. It was like this kind of see-through pajama thing that just with a little bow tie and everything. It was just bizarre. Those are the only kind of costumes, the only kind of clothes I remember when women wear them. But anyway,
I know Hillary Clinton's favorite was probably Lady Gaga because she was wearing a white pantsuit. Just saying.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Lady Gaga is making a cottage industry about going on the Academy Awards and knocking them dead with a song.
Oh, my God. She just, I mean, drove it home. And so did Chris Rock. I just think Chris Rock was just right on the money. Just 100% solid.
Yeah, he was pretty brilliant. And he had the unenviable task of sort of appealing to, for want of a better phrase, both sides. And I think he did an amazing job. It was uncomfortable. It was a strange Academy Awards, don't you think? It was almost surreal.
It was. Some of the stuff, you know, I thought, when he talked about panties, I'm going to play some of these cuts of Rihanna's panties. And then when he mentioned lynchings and things like that, I was thinking, I don't know. But I laughed.
Yeah, I
not
thought
laughing
they,
at those things, people. Don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, I
hold
thought
your
they,
emails, please.
I thought they did overkill on the Oscar so white thing. I thought like first 10 minutes would have made the point, as opposed to all that other stuff that came after that. Because you know we do get it. But what's interesting about all that controversy is how it seemed, to me anyway, to dovetail with a lot of other stuff that's going on in the world and all these issues that were reflected in all these acceptance speeches and the performances last night. When I think back about last night, what was most striking to me was that the show, most of it, if not the lion's share of it, was political. I mean, personally, I think somewhat annoyingly politically correct, but political nonetheless. When you think of the past Oscar shows, and what the narratives were the following day when something of controversy happened, like something political, like in 1978, Vanessa Redgrave gave that famous Zionist hoodlum speech and she was booed off the podium. When Hearts and Minds won in 1975, the Vietnam doc, Frank Sinatra came on stage after the acceptance speech by one of the co-producers. I think it was Bert Snyder. He was reading a telegram from the Vietnamese people, and Frank Sinatra came on. He had to read a statement saying that the Academy was very sorry that someone had to make a political statement that evening, and, you know, the Sachin Littlefeather thing. All these were single moments, and last night we had Oscar So White, which highlighted the lack of the minority diversity in Hollywood movies. We had the Spotlight win, which highlighted the Boston Globe team, which exposed sex abuses within the church. Leonardo DiCaprio used his win to talk about climate change.
Right.
The writers of The Big Short, when they won, talked about, you know, the need for bank financial reform. And Adam McKay just came out and said, hey, if you don't want big money to control your lives, vote for the candidates for president who also believe in that and will represent you accordingly. That Pakistani director, I'm blanking on her name, the one that won for documentary short, it was called A Girl in the River, said that the Pakistani prime minister said he would change the law on honor killing of women in India, presumably because of the impact of her movie. All this in one show.
Yeah, that's a lot. You're right. It is a lot of politics in one package. All right, I've got to take a break, but we'll be back and continue our conversation with Tim Sica, all things Oscar last night. And the diversity thing was a big deal. Here's a clip from, we'll play the clip when we come back, from Chris Rock opening the show. Coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
Fresh, live, local, the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
This is Lady Gaga, Till It Happens to You, co-written by Diane Warren for the documentary The Hunting Ground, from the Oscars last night.
You tell me it gets better in time. You say to pull myself together, pull it together, you'll be fine. Tell me, what the hell do you know? What do you know? Tell me, how the hell could you know? How could you know? Till it happens to you.
Okay, and that is all about sexual assaults on college campuses. And she did a great job. I mean, you know, it was a home run. Here is Chris Rock opening the entire Academy Awards ceremony last night by joking about the diversity issue.
Well, I'm here at the Academy Awards, otherwise known as the White People's Choice Awards. You realize if they nominated host, I wouldn't even get this job. That's right, y'all be watching Neil Patrick Harris right now. This controversy, the no black nominees, you know? And people are like, Chris, you should boycott. Chris, you should quit. You should quit. You know, how come it's only unemployed people that tell you to quit something, huh? You know? I thought about it real hard, but I realized they're gonna have the Oscars anyway. They're not gonna cancel the Oscars because I quit. You know, and the last thing I need is to lose another job to Kevin Hart, okay?
And that guy is short. My God, I didn't know he was that short.
Yeah.
He's a short guy. Yeah, because there was a shot beforehand of him standing next to some tall person. I thought, well, this just looks crazy.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you're nothing against Short. I happen to like Short, but, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about, you know, we were thinking and the conventional wisdom was that The Big Short would been, you know, would be the big winner with the best picture, but it was Spotlight.
Yeah, I was off on that one. Yeah, you know, I was using the conventional wisdom that the movie that the Producers Guild picks for their best film is what the Academy picks. And for the last 7 years, they have done that. But again, you know, these things happen. I think Spotlight was a good choice overall. You know, it was a quote-unquote important film. It was a well-acted film. It was a well-scripted film. It was a very solid film. It makes sense that they chose that over The Revenant. I was kind of glad that The Revenant didn't win Best Picture. I didn't think – I think it's overrated. Best cinematography, yes. Best direction, okay. Best actor, but, you know, it was Leo's year, so.
Yeah, and I thought Spotlight might be a little heavy for the Academy, you know, dealing with the behind the scenes of the Boston Globe and the Catholic priests, you know, all
well,
of
yeah,
those
you know
sexual
what,
allegations.
Thought,
yeah.
Right. And I thought it seemed to be losing its steam. When the film premiered, I think it was in November, it had a lot of backers and people were very excited about it. And it seemed in the last couple months they're just, you know, there wasn't that same momentum. It seemed to be fading in the same way last year that Boyhood was. And Boyhood wound up, you know, losing the Oscar to Birdman. So I thought for sure that it was going to be Big Short. But, hey, I was wrong there. I was wrong. Best Supporting Actor, that was a surprise. Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies.
Right.
It was nice that they gave it to him. It was a great performance, and the film is terrific. So, you know, good for Bridge of Spies. And there was another one. There was another one that I
Brie
that
Larson,
I
Room.
Yeah, I predicted that one. The Best Supporting Actor was Stallone. That was a surprise.
Yeah, he was shut out, and I think a lot of people were surprised and disappointed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would have been nice, but again, that's one of those things. The conventional wisdom would say, you know, bet on Stallone. It's a career Oscar. It's for the same role that maybe he should have won for 30 years ago. It was a sentimental performance, but no, they gave it to the other guy. Who knows? You know, who knew?
And then, of course, Leonardo, along with Alejandro, won. Leonardo took home the Best Actor, and Alejandro won for Best Director of The Revenant. So,
right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's his second win. Yeah, he won last year, too, Alejandro Iñárritu. He won for Birdman last year. He won again for The Revenant. I thought his... you know, he spoke very passionately on diversity in his acceptance speech. The Mexican cinematographer, Emmanuel Lubezki, became, I think, the first cinematographer to win 3 times in a row, which was kind of neat. You know, the Oscars, I hate to even go there to predict because, you just never know. Even if when you're on the inside, I know a lot of people that are on the inside, and I get reports, and even they were surprised at some of the choices last night, shocked, especially with Spotlight. And it almost seemed to me, maybe I'm reading
Best Original Screenplay also.
And it's odd for a film to win a Best Picture award and then just having won one other award. That's very strange, and it's unusual.
Oh, you're right.
It doesn't happen a lot.
I'm looking at my list, and then all of these visual costumes, makeup and hair and mixing and sound editing and production and cinematography and all these things for Mad Max Fury Road. I guess it was deservingly so. You know, I'm not a Mad Max guy, so I couldn't sit through it, but I guess those things are appropriate, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spectacularly made film. You know, it's first and foremost. It's basically just a two-hour chase movie, but it's well made. It's well made. It's shockingly good considering the director is 70 years old. You know, it just looks like the work of a 30-year-old in their prime. It had a lot of energy. It had a lot of great photography. Its message seemed to be that the only way society is going to survive as a species is if it incorporates the feminine principle into its inner working. So that, you know, in that sense, it was different, even though it was very testosterone driven. It's a terrific movie. Yeah,
I have to say, and it got a little crazy when they won. You know, the sound editors were swearing and shouting. Let me play this little clip, and you know, they were trying to get them off the stage, and they kept shouting over the music. Take a listen.
Yes. And I'm proud to represent all my Australian colleagues. Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Why not, Chris Evans? Yeah, so, you know, the longer you talk, the louder that music gets.
Right, the Ride of the Valkyries, Wagner. That was a fun. I mean, I don't know if somebody, you know, what was really weird is when Son of Saul won the best foreign language film, deservedly so. It's such a great movie.
Oh yes,
the director was played off to that, and you know that Wagner was Hitler's favorite composer, and it's almost like they realized that it started, and then within about maybe 5, 6, 7 seconds, it switched to the theme from Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's like maybe somebody went, wait, we can't play this music for a Holocaust movie that just won, so they switched to Raiders of the Lost Ark. But it was such an odd Oscar show. I've never seen an Oscar show like this.
Well, it was fantastic. It was different, and, you know, we're all full of surprises all the time. Tim Sica, thank you very much for talking to me. I look forward to, well, we'll do new movie reviews this coming Friday.
That's right, and I look forward to it, and I'll look forward to talking to you guys then.
All
right,
thank you.
In fact, you could give us a teaser because you saw one tonight.
Oh, Zootopia, but you know, there's an embargo on it, so I can't say what I thought about it until Friday.
Oh,
yeah.
See.
But at least we can say we will review it on Friday.
Yes, we will.
Tim Sica's a big shot, so he gets those screeners and special showings and stuff.
Oh, well, he's always drinking champagne and wearing an ascot and putting his feet up and watching a film.
You know,
how did you guys know? Who told you?
Look, I want to tell you this is the funniest thing, because I talked to lots of people in the newsroom today. They go, Drex, I'm so glad you're doing the recap, because by the time I uncork the second bottle of wine, Hell's Bells, I forgot what happened.
Yeah, so. I actually did have a couple bottles of champagne during the Oscars. Maybe that's why it was so weird. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. All right, we'll do some of that fun stuff coming up. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you,
Tim
Sica. All right, more of the Drex Radio Show and the good news. Well, the good news is going to be the insanity that was last night, coming up on KGO 810.
If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
I guess I was a Bond girl in that maybe he likes sleeping with vulnerable women with heavy Jewish boobs and then never contacting them again. Maybe that's his thing. Know what my thing is? Being in front of 80 million people on live TV and saying whatever comes into my mind. Oh, here's something. James Bond, not a grower or a shower. I don't want to say he's terrible at sex, but he did sleep with 55 women in 24 movies, and most of them tried to kill him afterwards.
Okay, Sarah Silverman, everybody, from the Oscars last night. And Chris, I have several cuts that I want to play you here, just highlights. Chris Rock wonders why people waited until the 88th Oscars to protest diversity.
That's the big question. Why this Oscars? It's the 88th Academy Awards, which means this whole no black nominees thing has happened at least 71 other times. Okay? You gotta figure that it happened in the 50s, in the 60s. You know, like, you know, in the 60s, one of those years, Sydney didn't put out a movie. I'm sure there were no black nominees some of those years, say 62 or 63, and black people did not protest. Why? Because we had real things to protest at the time. You know, we're too busy being raped and lynched to care about who won Best Cinematographer. You know, when your grandmother's swinging from a tree, it's really hard to care about best documentary foreign short.
I have to tell you, New York Daily News took him to task on that today. But Chris Rock's Oscar opening lynching jokes went way too far. But that's really all I saw. I saw one op-ed on it, and it was them. I don't know if it's trending in the Twitter, you know, Twitter world or not.
I didn't see much about it, no.
No, I don't, you know, well, people are always trying to make something out of something. Of course, he's going to talk about all things controversial. And he did address Jada Pinkett Smith. I love that.
Jada got mad. Jada says she's not coming. Protesting. I'm like, is she on a TV show? Jada's going to boycott the Oscars. Jada boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited. Jada's mad. Her man, Will, was not nominated for concussion. I get it. I get it. Tell the truth. I get it. It's not fair that Will was this good and didn't get nominated. Yeah, you're right. It's also not fair that Will was paid $20 million for Wild Wild West, okay?
I invested 2 hours of my life in that. I would have to tend to agree. Chris Rock also joked about making separate black categories for the awards.
This thing, things are going to be a little different at the Oscars. This year, in the In Memoriam package, it's just going to be black people that were shot by the cops on their way to the movies.
That is edgy.
Black nominees every year. You need to just have black categories. You already do it with men and women. Think about it. There's no real reason for there to be a man and a woman category in acting. It's track. It's not. Come on. There's no reason. It's not track and field. You don't have to separate them. You know, Robert De Niro's never said, I better slow this acting down so Meryl Streep could catch up.
And then he did this this pre-recorded bit where he interviewed people at a movie theater in Compton. This is great.
Were you upset when you heard there were no black nominees this year?
I mean, I wasn't surprised, but yeah, I mean, it kind of bothered me a little bit.
I mean, like real bad, like smack a white man bad?
Almost. You still go to jail in L.A. for smacking a white man.
Oh, yeah, that is, please.
Yeah.
You get 3 years for a hard look.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So did you see any of the Oscar-nominated movies? You see Spotlight?
No. What the hell is that? No, I didn't see that movie.
Spotlight? Nope.
No.
Do you feel that Trumbo should have been a bigger hit?
What?
How about Brooklyn?
No, I haven't seen Brooklyn.
Did you see The Big Short?
I did not.
How about The Bridge of Spies?
Where are you getting these movies from? You making up stuff, you messing with me, right?
No, these are real movies.
No, it's not. I watch movies. I come to the movies all the time.
These are real movies.
Like in London and stuff.
Did you see Straight Outta Compton?
Straight Outta Compton, I did see that.
I loved it.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh, hell yeah.
I loved it. And then Chris Rock tried to sell Girl Scout cookies to the audience.
I've been away from my two daughters at a very important time in their life. I have missed most of Girl Scout cookie season. So I want you to reach into your millionaire pockets and I want you to buy some of my daughter's Girl Scout cookies. Look at my babies up there. You're gonna just make that money. Guarantee the fame. Right there, right there. Oh, Charlize Theron. Yes. Matt Depp. Yes. Okay, you get him. You get him. Leo, you made $30 million. Come on. Come on.
For wrestling with a bear, nonetheless. And he said it was grueling. Well, he won, though. I guess it was grueling enough. I mean, who the hell wouldn't have a bear jump on him for $30 million? Bring one on. I mean, like Castro Bear, not like Grizzly.
Oh, that's not what happens in The Revenant.
Oh,
he's in the
really?
Woods. He's not up on
he's
Castro.
Not on, he's on a Castro.
No, different bear.
Oh, well, then hell no. Okay, let's thank our guests. Boy, am I misinformed. Okay, we want to thank Tim Sika for joining us. Yes, our San Francisco film critic. And also, let me see. Old G. Penny. What's Penny's name?
Jenny Winton from the Bay Area, who's touring with the Dirty Dancing stage production.
From the Golden Gate Theater until March 20th. So go. The show is really good. And Marty Nemko, our career coach, who is with us, every Monday night at 8 o'clock. All right, have a good night. Oh, by the way, Sam Smith did accept the Oscar for Best Original Song and dedicated it to the LGBT community because he read somewhere that no openly gay man had ever won an Oscar before. Actually, that was incorrect. Other openly gay performers have won, including Elton John, Sondheim. Let me see here. Melissa Etheridge won, but that's okay.
For Best Original Song, Jimmy Napes and Sam Smith for Writings on the Wall.
I read an article a few months ago by Sir Ian McKellen, and he said that no openly gay man had ever won an Oscar. And if this is the case, even if it isn't the case, I want to dedicate this to the LGBT community all around the world. I stand here tonight as a proud gay man, and I hope we can all stand together as equals one day. Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you, Sam Smith. All
now
right.
Don't get me in trouble.
That's right. And stand by, the John Batchelor Show is next on KGOA 10.
I've been here before, but always hit the floor. I've spent a lifetime running, and I always get away. But with you, I'm feeling something that makes me want to stay. If I risk it all, could you break my fall? Cause though